Well, that'd be good. Amen. You won't know bad weather's coming when we get to heaven. There ain't going to be no bad weather. Ain't going to be no bad attitudes either. Amen. No morning breath. That'd be good. See, right now, you know what I think about us. We are corruption manufacturing mechanisms. Everything that goes in us that's good comes out on the smelly side. Paul said in Romans 7, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. So we're here today, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by the righteousness of Christ. Somebody say amen. Turn to Galatians 5. Galatians chapter 5. What a beautiful day heaven's going to be. Amen. I don't know if I preach it. I'm preaching about sin and Sunday school lessons about Satan and Sunday nights about devils. So maybe when I get back from Kenya, I'll preach on heaven. That'd be good. Amen. Give you something to think about, something to look forward to. You're going to get bad news in this world. Okay? And we don't know but what bad news is just waiting for one of us this week. We don't know that. But God designed it that way so that we'll want to a better place. And if we have a pretty rough life, and some people have had rough life, heaven is not going to be any of that. You're going to forget all about it. Amen? So, I think it's good to instill a little fear in a sinner's mind that he is going to be judged by God, and God does not take into account your good deeds because you don't have any. They've all been wiped away by your transgressions. That's what the Bible says, Ezekiel 33. The day that a righteous man transgresses the law, all of his righteousnesses are gone from him. He doesn't have anything. You don't have a leg to stand on before God. So it's by grace that God saves us, and by grace that God forgives and washes away all of our sins. Those that have gone on to be with Jesus before us, no matter how good they were, it was only by grace that they're there, and only by grace that we'll be there. Galatians chapter 5, we've been preaching this a little while. It tells us what kind of things are in us. Tells us things that we don't want to do anymore. And for the most part, some of this stuff you don't worry about. But there's always going to be something in everybody's life that he's going to have to wrestle with. I've got mine. My wife has hers. My children have theirs. All the men in this church struggle with one thing or another. All you ladies have your issues. All the children. We see ourselves, John, in our children every day. And it usually comes out on the rough side. Only they're better at it than we were. Amen. So Galatians 5 is just one of those places in the Bible that reminds us how we're not supposed to be and how God replaces it with his goodness. Galatians 5 verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Again, he did not say you will not have the lust of the flesh. He did not say that. He said you won't fulfill them. And there's a difference. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh, here it is. Now this is the list we've been working on here. There's several lists in the Bible of sins. And Jesus talked about in one place seven things that proceeds out of the heart of man. In another place he added six more to it, 13 things that proceed out of the heart of man. Romans 1 talks about 23 things that people can be guilty of. Here in Galatians 5, there's 18 things. So what one person in Bethel Church doesn't deal with, another person does. And that, well, I've already covered that. But anyway, so he said, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these? Adultery, fornication. In fact, let's read these out loud together, all right? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. That last part is the cap on the soda bottle that covers everything, right? That's everything that's bad that's not specifically listed here, but you still know it's wrong. He said, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Let's go to the Lord and ask God's help for me to preach this message to you, for you to receive it, for God to bless it, and for His will to be done. Heavenly Father, I pray, dear God, that you'd help me preach today. Father, I don't have the message that I want to have. So I'm going to depend on you. I'm going to ask you, God, Lord, to bless. I'm going to ask you to help me. I'm going to ask you to help these people today. Lord, I understand that in my flesh or by myself, I have no right to stand and open this book in the presence of these people. Only Jesus Christ can do that. Only Jesus can do it behind this pulpit. Only Jesus can do it in the hearts and the minds of those who are listening today, both that are here and those that are on watching online. Those that would be listening maybe on the internet, on the radio, wherever it is, Lord, that this word is preached. Only Jesus can open up the book and give understanding and give life and give blessing to people. Help us, dear God, to take heed to the warnings of the Scriptures. Help us, dear God, to search within ourselves things, Father, that are not right with you. Things, dear God, that we do wrong. Things, God, that are not pleasing in your sight. Things that are specifically mentioned in the Bible, covered in the Bible. And Father, let this Bible be our guide and be the light to our path and to shine the light of the way, Lord, that we are supposed to walk therein. And Father, we just pray, dear God, that you would help us to wake up daily, crucify our flesh, so that the Spirit can manifest the fruits of God and the fruits of righteousness in our lives. That people, Lord, would be drawn to us, not because we cast ourselves out as somebody that's better than everybody else, but because of the manifestation of the fruits of the Spirit of God. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and such like. I pray, dear God, that you'd just bless the message. Bless those that hear it. Help me to preach today. And Father, fulfill your will, we pray in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said. Now, we were talking about variance. And let me just run down this very quickly from last week. Variance is one of those things that he mentioned. It's in us. And there's several definitions in it. Number one, variance means against, contrary to, deliberately oppositional, defiant. And I didn't really touch on this last week, but there's always somebody that in their mind, here's what they got to fight off. They have to fight off rules are made to be broken. There's always somebody in a family, maybe one of your children. If you've got several children, there's going to be one of them that's going to be oppositional, a little bit rebellious. You lay down, if you say, Lights out at 11 o'clock. They're going to stick it at 11:05. They're still going to have the light on, and they do it deliberately. Ask me how I know. When I transitioned in my youth from one Bible college to another, I was used at one college to having a little bit of lax rules. Well, they said lights out 11:30. They let me stay up if I wanted to, especially on weeknights. And when I went to this other college, it was more strict, and I didn't like that. And so when they said lights out at 10:30, I was in bed at 10:30 with my light on reading, and a guy come by my door and knocked on it at 10:35 and said lights out. And I said, well, okay. So I turned my light out. Next day, I go to my student mailbox. I've got a letter in there saying I got demerits. For 5 minutes, leave my light on. 5 minutes. And I went, you just stupid thing. And I set about to try to break as many rules as I thought I could get away with. And then I got married. Quit laughing. It's your daughter. Then I found out that mama's got rules that are not to be broken. And God used that to shape and mold me. When we were transitioning, or we used to have a Christian school here, and we were using one set of curriculum, and it just wasn't working for us, and we found out about another one down in Texas, and we decided to go with it, and we went down for training. And I had heard that the training for the teachers and the supervisors and the pastors was pretty intense. And I remember driving all the way down to Dallas, Texas with a bad attitude thinking, I'm not going to let these people push me around. I'm going to tell you that right now. And when I got in that place, they made us sit down at desks like we were students. It was an ACE. And God smote my heart in that place. And immediately, I became submissive. And God gave me a submissive spirit. And I found myself wanting to please those men who were trying to train me. And it was probably one of the greatest blessings I've ever experienced in life, of relearning how to submit to the will of authority. If there are rules, somebody thought long and hard about those rules, and it takes rules to govern people. Can I hear you say amen? It takes rules, guidelines, laws, principles, constitutions, bills, statutes, you name it, codes, you name it. It takes those things for us in this country to have the high standard of living that we have. That standard of living comes by way of rules and regulations and authority that we must submit to. And people don't like that. They want to be at variance. If there's a rule, then they're going to break it. And they're going to break it simply because they want to. They have a variant will in them, a rebellious, oppositional will, a defiant will. And they will do things specifically just to break rules. And they'll do it in church. Oh, they don't like me wearing my hat in church. Well, I'm going to wear my hat tonight. I'm not talking to Sandra here. I'm talking to Ron. Ladies, I love it when you wear a hat in church. I'm like old-fashioned like that. Okay? And I don't care if it's some big old broad gaudy thing. Come in with that thing just flopping like that. Okay? But fellas, I'm one of these, and it's biblical. You walk in the house of God, you take your hat off. I don't preach with a hat on. You say, well, that's not a big deal, but it's in the Bible, so I don't do it. And it's in my heart. Thank you for that. God bless you. I don't want to have a rebellious, oppositional, defiant, wicked, variant nature. I don't want that. I want to be right Number one, in the eyes of God. And number two, I want to be right in the sight of men. Even lost men. Lost people think church people are a bunch of phony hypocrites that they wouldn't give you a dime for a box of church members. Because even lost people sometimes will follow the rules and not have a variant nature about them. But they know that church people go around thinking that the world bends at their will because they are the servants of God. And it ought not be that way. Can I hear God's people say amen? So Webster's number one defines it, law and alteration or something formally laid in writ or difference between a declaration and writ or the deed in which it is. And I covered that last week. Every man, we're supposed to do that which is right in the sight of God. Now, let me get to the second Webster's definition of variance. Any alteration or change of condition. Now, I got verses up on the screen. I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to Esther 1 and Daniel 6. Esther chapter 1, Daniel chapter 6. And let me kind of give you, as we go into these places, let me kind of give you the illustration here. Judah had been taken captive into Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar. And under Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar was the ruler over God's people, and God is the one who put them there. After Nebuchadnezzar died, his grandson Belshazzar ruled in his place, and God, because of his wickedness, God sent word, that's the handwriting on the wall story, God sent word that he was going to divide the kingdom of Babylon up. He was going to give it over to the Medes and to the Persians. Now, the Medes and the Persians were not, listen to this now, were not God's people. And I want you to hear, something from God today. Do not be surprised when you learn a godly lesson from a lost person. I've had that happen to me. How God will use some lost person to teach me something that I should have already known that they saw in me that was wicked. And one of them was our next door neighbor. And I had a problem with our next door neighbor, their little boy coming over on our property playing on our school playground. And I thought, will he get hurt or he'll mess something up and he'll tear something up and I don't want that. So I used to scream, yell at him, run him off. Well, I yelled at him one too many times. He went and told his mom. His mom come in here like a she-bear bereaved of cubs. And she walked right in this church and went into my office, didn't knock the door or nothing, walked in my office, and I heard the door, I had my back turned to the door, and I heard the door slam behind me, and I turned around, I thought it was Sweetie Pie, and I'm going, and it was her, and she had eyes blaze of fire like this, and she read me the act, and she said, how dare you talk to my child this way? And she yelled, and I yelled back at her, and we got into it right there, and she marched off over there, and a while later, God smote my heart. Mike, you didn't do right. That was your neighbor. What's the two rules I gave? Love the Lord your God. Love your neighbor. And God smote my heart. And here this, God used this lost woman to teach me something that I needed to know. The Medes and the Persians had taken over the kingdom of Babylon. Babylon had taken over what was left of the Jews. And so God was just divided. And here are the Jews now, and they're supposed to be God's holy people, and yet because of their wickedness, God put them under cruel authority, under Babylonian authority. Then they're having to be under the law of the Medes and Persians. And in the book of Esther, Haman wants to kill every Jew in the realm. Kill every one of them. And the Jews are having to learn that they have to learn how to submit to authority. So, in Esther 1:19, we find, here's what is written. If it please the king, let there go a royal commandment from him, and let it be written among the laws of the Persians and the Medes that it not be, or that it be not altered. Now let me explain that. Even the lost kingdom of the Medes and the Persians are the Iranians. Even in those lost, they served wicked gods. They were ungodly people. But Their kings had a rule that they had to follow. And the rule was, it was called the law of the Medes and the Persians. And it said that once the king made a written decree and sealed it with his signet, not even the king could be at variance with the law. Just because you're at the top of the food chain doesn't mean that the laws and the rules and the codes don't apply to you anymore. We need to send this sermon to every member of Congress, in the state legislature, in the county legislature, in the United States legislature, and let them know that just because they are senators and representatives and judges and presidents, they have to follow the same rules that we have to follow. And if they're going to force that stupid health care on us, they ought to have it too. That was old stuff. I ought to get over that. But that just, listen, that boiled in me. That they passed that law forcing you to take this health care, but they were automatically exempt from it? Who are we kidding? So the law of the Medes and Persians, here this lost, wicked people said that once we wrote out a law and the king approved it by putting his seal on it, not even he could go against it. In Daniel chapter 6, this is the story of Daniel praying. 3 times a day, he got by his window and he prayed to God. And the rulers of Babylon were jealous over Daniel because they didn't like it because Nebuchadnezzar had exalted Daniel in his day because of Daniel being able to interpret the dreams of Nebuchadnezzar. And those men hated him and they hated his God. So they tricked the king. I think it was Darius at this time, or anyway, they went to him and they tricked him and they said, "O king, live forever. I see people that are not worshiping the gods of Babylon. So why don't we declare a decree that if anybody is caught serving another god, that they be cast into the lion's den, and we're going to write it in the law of the Medes and Persians." And so Daniel chapter 6, verse 8, "Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it not be changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not." And once the king signed it, not even he could go against it. Then he found out that it was about Daniel. And the king favored Daniel. And he loved Daniel. But his hands were tied. He had to abide by his own rules. Are you catching this? If you establish a rule for your life whereby you say, "You know what? There's some things I'm just not going to do." God heard it. Stick with it. If it's right in the eyes of God, stick with it. Amen? Don't go about wanting to change everything or making everything bend to your will. Or just because you can get by with it. And the king, once he signed that law, now the law, I love the law. The law said that they had to throw him in a lion's pit. Didn't say he had to die. And they threw him in the lion's pit. Daniel sitting down there petting the lions. "Hey, Fred. Your name's Fred. I like you, Fred." He's petting lions. And the king comes down the next day, pulls Daniel out of the lions. He fulfilled the law. But he couldn't alter it. Now, I'm going to put these up on the screen very quickly. And then I'm going to have you go to Revelation. Malachi, go ahead and turn to Revelation. Malachi 3:6. Here's God. "I am the Lord, I change not." Let me ask you a question. Are there laws in the Bible that forbid one person from taking the property of another person? That's called stealing. "Thou shalt not." So it doesn't matter if it's a thief or a politician. Stealing is stealing. Amen? I'm setting you up. I got you to say amen to it, right? Politicians ought not steal. Where did I tell you to turn? I misspoke. I want you to turn to Malachi. Uh-oh. Malachi. Thou shalt not steal. Thank you. Here he goes. I come to church one time, preacher's going to preach on money. How many times in this church do I preach on money? Just happened to not be carrying today, so it's not good. Look at this. Malachi chapter 3, that's right at the end of the Old Testament. Verse 8, will a man rob God? Is it possible to rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but you say, wherein have we robbed thee? God said, in tithes and offerings. Now that's the word of the Lord. I didn't write it. I didn't inject that in there. Church members did not put that in there. Preachers did not put that in there. God put that in there. God designed the tithe and the offering system for the benefit of the church, for the blessing and for the pay of those who serve in the church. If I labor in the word, you should not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. And I'm the ox treading out the corn. That means I should be fed from the same corn that I tread out. Okay? Now, I don't talk about my salary. I don't talk about anything like this. You notice me when we take up an offering, I'm busy doing something else. I'm playing a piano or something, whatever. I don't want to know. But if you say it's wrong to steal, and yet you don't tithe, and you don't give offerings, that's called variance. That means that you're making God's word bend toward your will. God said, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob have not consumed. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and how long? Forever. It's the same God. If God said, thou shalt not steal, then thou shalt not steal. I don't care if God said it 5,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago, or yesterday, you're not supposed to steal. If God said, thou shalt not commit adultery, then it's wrong to commit adultery. I don't care if it was 4,000 years ago, 1,000 years ago, or yesterday, or today, it's wrong to commit adultery. If God said that there should not be found among you a sodomite, then it's wrong to be a sodomite. I don't care if they parade up and down Festus, Missouri. I don't care if they flaunt their sin in the daytime and fly it in the face of God. It's still wrong. You cannot bend the Word of God or go at variance and change the Word of God simply because you don't like the Word of God. So Revelation chapter 22, there's curses. Curses for those who do this thing. And I'm going to give you a double witness out of Scripture. The Bible says, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. If I'm going to give you a doctrine, I'm going to give you at least two places in the Bible that says the same thing. At the end of the Bible, the very last book in your Bible, Revelation, it was the last book written, and it's the last book in the whole Bible. And at the very end, the last thing that was said to us in this world, Revelation 22, 18, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man, who is any man? Any man. Doesn't matter if it's a council of bishops, or the laity in the pews, or a whole denomination, or whoever it is. If any man shall add unto these things, that means add words to God's word. God said, thou shalt not steal, right? Word for word. God said, thou shalt not kill, right? God said, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, okay? God said, thou shalt not drink Kool-Aid on Thursday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Did God say that? But you're going to find some nut out there who thinks he can add things to God's word and make you bow to them. Why do Catholics eat fish on Fridays? Why? Why don't they eat meat on Fridays? Something they made up. It's not in the Bible anywhere that you can't eat meat on Friday. So eat meat. Bacon and pork and hamburgers and steak and chicken. Eat it. God said to say, thank you, God. Bless this meal, sanctify it, cleanse that which is unclean, use my body for your kingdom's sake. And God said, the word of God and the prayer of thanksgiving shall purify. Eat it. God did not say those things. Those people added things to the word of God. And when you do that, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. So we don't get as a church to make up sins. Nor do we get to ignore them. So the next verse says, and if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. You don't add something. And when you're reading it, Edward, you don't take it out because you don't like it. If God said do this, then you ought to do it. As much as in your power, you ought to do it. If God said don't do this, then you ought not do that. And as much as in your power, don't do that. And if you find yourself doing it, confess it to God, get it out of the way. Because it's wrong. God does not excuse our sins that he put in his word simply because we might be at the top. I don't get to break them. You don't get to break them. If I break them, God gets me. If you break them, I'm not going to get you. God's going to. Okay? Turn to Deuteronomy 4. Here's your double witness. Double witness. Mouth of two witnesses. Let every word be established. This is what variance is. Oh, there's things in this Bible that, man, that's not for us. I think it is. I think when you read the Bible, it is God's word, because God changes not. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it doesn't matter. I had a man that called me one day down in a friend of mine, a fellow pastor, a man in his church called me because he got into a fight with his pastor over, will a man rob God? And he said, well, that's in the Old Testament. We're not on the Old Testament. We're under grace. So they kind of got into a little discussion about it, and the fellow said, well, I know who I'll call. I'll call Mike Hoggard. So he called me, Sterling. And he said, well, the pastor said I was a thief. I said, do you tithe? He said, not always. I said, then you are a thief. He didn't like that. Huh? Listen, if God draws your attention to something in the Bible and he says, we're going to work on this, let God work on it. Let God take stuff out of your life. Let God put stuff in your life that's supposed to be there. Let God have his way in his word. Amen? Deuteronomy 4, and I got something else in my mind we're going to go to here in a little bit. Almost there. Here we go. Deuteronomy 4, verse 1. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments. Hearken has the word hear in it. And that simply means you hear it and you agree to it and you're going to do it. Unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you for to do them, that you may live. Going and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. What was the purpose of your parents telling you not to do certain things? What was the purpose in it? Protection. Your mama always had a sense of who you ought to be playing with and who you ought not to be playing with. Didn't you, mama? Didn't you always go, I think y'all stay away from them. But mama, they're not doing anything. I'm telling you, stay away from them. Shut up. She knows. Why'd you start coming here to begin with? Let me tell you something. Hey, listen to me. Young people, listen to me. The guy that I picked to be friends with when I was 12 years old, his parents grew marijuana in their basement. He had access to all of his daddy's beer and his dirty magazines. And I picked him to be my buddy. And my mama said, I don't think you ought to be going down there. She had no idea what I knew was in that house. But the Holy Ghost of God was just on her, and she sensed that there was something not right about me going to that house. And she said, at one point, she said, you're done. And I didn't go down there no more. And she was right. The laws that your mom and daddy laid down for you were for your protection. And the rules and the guidelines and the codes and the statutes and everything else that God lays down for us are for our protection. God knows better than we do. God's smarter than we are. God sees everything that's going on, and He knows what's just around the corner, and He's going to snatch you bald-headed just to keep you safe. Now watch this. Verse 2 of Deuteronomy 4, He said, you shall not add unto the word which I command you. Now I like how this is written. Neither shall you diminish aught from it. You know what diminishing is? Michael, get ready with the camera to follow me. Okay? Are you on me? Okay. I'm going to show you what diminishing is. I'm going to play a chord. Okay? And that's about as loud as I could get it. Now listen to that chord over the next 10 seconds. What's happening? It's musical notation that sometimes when you're playing, you're to lower the volume and diminish the sound. Okay? That's what that is. Now, here's what I think this is. All right. Here's what I think this is saying. We may not be guilty of taking out things out of the Bible, but we are guilty of diminishing things in the Bible as if they're not as important. As if one sin is not as bad as another sin. Diminish aught from it. That we can get accustomed. Listen to me. You folks that are 55 and up. What's happened to the dress standards of people in your lifetime? Am I right? The standards have diminished. And we make fun of women that show up at Walmart in their pajamas. And there was a day when a woman wouldn't even come out to get her morning paper in her pajamas. And what's happened in our country is we have diminished the Word of God. We've diminished the rules. We've diminished the regulations. We've diminished the guidelines. We've said in ourselves, well, this is not as important as other things are, so I can get away with this while I'm still doing this because this is easy. I'm going to diminish a little bit from what God said, and I'm going to do half of what God said. When you do half of what God said, you do not do what God said. Saul, King Saul, did half of what God told him to do, and he went to hell over it. Killed himself over it. God quit talking to him over it. So you don't want to diminish? You want to be at variant against the Word of God? You shall not add to the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. What is there about God's word that you don't like? Hebrews 10, and then I'm going to let you go. Hebrews 10. I'm already there. Hebrews 10, verse 5. These are the words that Jesus himself said before he came to Bethlehem to be born of a virgin. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. And he's talking about the Old Testament law. He's saying all those sacrifices of bulls and goats and lambs, that didn't cut it with God. God said they're animals. They die all the time. The only sacrifice I'm going to accept is my sinless son. So then he said, verse 7, read verse 7. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God. Jesus himself laid out the standard that what he's going to do, he's going to do it by the book. I don't know if I'm going to say this or not. The board's going to meet at 3 o'clock, and we've got something to discuss that deals with the Word of God, and we're going to have to stick with the Word of God. Okay? So just get ready, fellas. Okay? I don't think it's going to be difficult. We're going to have to stick with the Word of God. Okay? I'll let you know what's going on later. But God's in this book. God gave us this book. This is our book to live by or to shun. But if you live by it, God will protect you. God will give you everlasting life. Don't just have an attitude that the Bible doesn't mean much for me in my life and the way I do things. I'll do it the way I want to do it, and I don't want anybody tell me what to do. Then you're at variance with God. Let's bow our heads.